Welcome back to TechNet Radio. Keith Mayer and Young Cho are back, and in today's episode, they show us how to migrate your virtual machines from VMware to Windows Azure or Hyper-V Server 2012. Tune in as they showcase some of the free tools that are available, such as the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter, as well as walk us through an end-to-end virtual machine migration. Keith, the mic is yours.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back for another episode of TechNet Radio. Young and I are back today to talk about migrating to our private cloud that we've been so feverishly building over the last several episodes. Young, hello. Good morning. Welcome back again. Pleasure to have you on the show.
Hi, Keith. Hello, everyone. This is Young Cho. Good day to talk about migrating the virtual machines.
Definitely. Well, hey, everybody. For those that don't know us, my name is Keith Mayer. I have with me Young Cho. We're both IT pro technical evangelists at Microsoft in the United States. And today we're going to be talking about migrating from VMware virtual machines that you may be running on premises, either over to your private cloud, to a Hyper-V-based server, either Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V or our free Hyper-V Server 2012 product, as well as taking that next step if you're in a hybrid cloud state and thinking about how we would then migrate from on-premises all the way out to Windows Azure as virtual machines as well. Young, in your dealings with IT pros, have you gotten a lot of questions about migrating out to a hybrid cloud scenario, running Windows Azure, for instance, as a cloud platform extension of an on-premises data center?
Well, first, hybrid is the way to go, right? We certainly do not expect everybody would drop off everything and build in cloud from scratch. So chances are you are going to migrate from an existing virtualization environment, migrate that into a cloud environment. And then as you build your cloud, you will also have resources that perhaps deploy offsite. Perhaps you have a heterogeneous virtualization solution and you try to consolidate it. So, in the entire transition into a private cloud and a hybrid cloud, I think, being able to move around different virtual machine, not just to different data center, but more importantly, have the portability from one virtualization solution to another, certainly is something that everybody have that in mind. And I'm hoping that today you're going to give us a good solution to that. I'm spending my time here. I want you to give me some good stuff, Keith.
Definitely. Well, and I've seen a lot of interest specifically around migrating virtual machines from VMware to Hyper-V on-premises or, as you mentioned, all the way out into Windows Azure as part of a hybrid cloud, primarily because of the cost-benefit performance ratios that a lot of IT pros in mid-market and enterprise environments are tasked with nowadays. You know, what they're finding more and more so, particularly the IT pros that I've been talking to in mid-market and enterprise space, is that they can literally save thousands, in some case tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars in software licensing by migrating VMs over to Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V or up into Windows Azure. And in particular, for going out all the way out to Azure, if IT pros already have applications that only need to run on a periodic basis, maybe they're dev, test, lab environments or environments that do batch processing where they may only be running them for a small portion of time throughout the month, or on the flip side, environments that really need high-speed, redundant connectivity to the Internet for servicing Internet users, certainly migrating all the way out to Azure makes a lot of sense. And previously in our series, Young, we talked about System Center 2012. If you're leveraging System Center to manage your private cloud, having some of these options. We've got built into System Center 2012 SP1 Virtual Machine Manager, the ability to do V2V migrations from Hyper-V to from VMware to Hyper-V on-premises. And in addition, with System Center 2012 Service Pack 1, we've also got App Controller as a way to then take our virtual machines that are running in our on-premises environment all the way out to the Azure cloud and be able to provision them in the Azure cloud. So we've talked a little bit about what's available in System Center already previously in the series. Today, what I was hoping to show you and get your feedback on is some of the free tools that we can use so that if we're initially setting our environment up, perhaps we don't have System Center quite yet in our environment, we can still leverage these free tools in order to perform a similar migration. So we're going to be looking at the free Microsoft Virtual Machine Migrator, Solution Accelerator. We'll look at some of the ways that we can leverage Hyper-V Manager and PowerShell together along with Windows Azure to perform a complete end-to-end migration from VMware on-premises all the way out to the Azure cloud. Well, what do you think, Young? Does it make sense to show everybody the process that we want to go through today?
Well, a couple of things here. First, I like what I hear. You said free tools, right?
Yeah.
I like everything free, so that's good. Second thing is the ability to migrate workload from VMware into Hyper-V really opens up many, many different opportunity and scenario. And not to mention, I can also further go into Windows Azure, which pretty much kind of, you know, everything, anything is possible once I can do that. So I'm looking forward to do that. And I also know that you mentioned different tools. I imagine all this can also be accelerated by PowerShell as well.
Yeah, definitely. In fact, the first tool, we'll be talking a bit about PowerShell during the demo, but the first tool that I had mentioned, the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter, that does a lot of the heavy lifting of the conversion process, the Solution Accelerator team recently released an automation toolkit that's PowerShell-based that wraps around that converter tool. The automation toolkit's also free, and it's intended for environments where you have hundreds or at least tens, perhaps tens or hundreds, of virtual machines that you want to do a batch migration of, all automated through PowerShell. So PowerShell is definitely part of the key secret sauce during the migration process.
Let's get it on.
Okay, well, let's jump over into the lab environment and we'll get started. Hey, Young, so here we are in our lab environment, and I've already taken the steps to download the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter tool and get that installed. And we're sitting here at the title screen. So the converter tool needs to run on a Windows Server 2012 or Windows 8-based system. It doesn't have to be a Hyper-V host. It could be, but it doesn't have to be. And it will allow us, as a GUI-based tool, to step through the process of converting a variety of Windows-based VMs from VMware to Hyper-V. And once we get it converted over to Hyper-V, we'll see how we can actually take that next step to get it up to Azure as well. So it shows us the Windows VM, Windows operating systems that it'll convert from inside of a VM in the middle here, Windows Server 2003 SP2 or later on the server side, and Windows Vista or later on the client VM side. So we're just going to click on the next button to go over to the next page and begin specifying the details that we'll use to connect in to our VMware server. Now, it could be a vCenter server that's managing a number of VMware ESX or ESXi hosts, or it could be an individual ESX or ESXi server that has a few VMs that it's running. So the first thing I'm going to do, I'm just going to click and enter in my address field the name of my VMware host that I wish to connect to. And then in the username and password area, it's asking me for the administrative credentials for logging in to that VMware host. So I'm just going to specify my username and password for logging in as with administrative access. And then once I'm done, go down to the bottom, click on the next button. And it'll query that host and pull back a list of virtual machines that that host is currently running. So the virtual machines that you're converting do initially have to be in an on state. You don't have to worry about anything making changes to those virtual machines because the converter tool will do a snapshot of your VMs on the VMware host before it actually begins any part of the conversion process. And then it'll restore the state of those VMs back to that previously snapshotted state. So the VMs do have to be on. They do have to be part of a Windows Active Directory domain so that you can log in with administrative Windows Server credentials to them from the box that you're currently on, and they have to be connected to a common network. So we'll see I've got a couple Windows VMs here, and they're both in an on state. I'm just going to select my first VM in the list, and we'll convert that. Now, the GUI-based tool the virtual machine converter GUI-based tool only allows us to select one VM at a time to convert. But if we're using that PowerShell automation toolkit that we talked about just a little bit earlier, the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter Automation Toolkit, that through PowerShell allows us to simultaneously batch convert a large number of virtual machines. So if you're doing batch conversion, definitely check out the automation toolkit for this solution accelerator tool. So I've selected my virtual machine. I go down to the bottom and click the next button to continue on to the next page. And here it'll ask me for my virtual machine connection information. So it shows me the virtual machine that I've selected. And it's going to default to using my current Windows account. And as long as my machine and the VM are both part of a common Active Directory domain and I'm logged in as a domain account that has administrative access to the VM that I'm converting, the operating system inside that VM, I'm good to go. If not, I can specify alternative Windows usernames and passwords to specify an account that has administrative credentials at a Windows server level to that operating system inside the VM. After I specify my username and password credentials for the Windows OS, the last piece that this page asks me is what state I wish to leave the source virtual machine in and the destination virtual machine. And you'll notice the tool gives me an on or off selection for both. This gives me a lot of flexibility. If I'm going through the conversion process end to end, like we are today, I probably want to leave the source virtual machine after the migration is finished in an off state and have my migrated destination VM that's running on Hyper-V left in an on state. So I can do that, or I can flip these around and I can say, hey, I want my source virtual machine to be reset to an on state. Maybe I'm just doing a test migration and I want my destination virtual machine to be in an off state initially so that I can later at an off production period of time power that destination VM up and inspect how the conversion process has occurred. So I've got some flexibility. Now we're going to be going through an end-to-end migration process of the virtual machine we've selected. So I'm going to leave my source VM after the migration completes in an off state and my destination VM that'll be imported into Hyper-V in an on state. And having made those selections, go ahead and click the next button. Now, in order to do the conversion process, there is a temporary folder that the converter tool requires. The temporary folder is used to initially make a copy of the snapshotted source VM, and then it makes some changes to that copy of the VM, where it uninstalls the VMware tools, and it converts that virtual hard disk format that the source VM is using, converts the copy of it from a VMDK, VMware virtual hard disk format, to a VHD, Microsoft virtual hard disk format. So this temporary folder, you need to have enough disk space such that you can store two copies of your source virtual machine hard disks temporarily, because initially it's going to make the copy of it, and then when it's doing the conversion, it's converting from VMDK to VHD to a separate target file. So for a short period of time during the migration, you'll need to have enough free space for two copies of the virtual hard disk. So I'll go ahead, click in my folder window, enter a temporary path sitting out on my local machine that I'm running the virtual machine converter from. So I'll put in VM temp on my D drive as a temporary path and click the next button. Now once I've done that, the last piece that this converter tool will do is it'll take the converted virtual machine and then import it into a selected Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V host or a Hyper-V Server 2012, our free version of Hyper-V Server, Hyper-V host. So it's going to ask me what's the name of my destination Hyper-V host. I'll go ahead and click in the address field, key that in. It's going to similarly ask me for a username and password that has administrative credentials to the host. So before I was specifying Windows credentials that had administrative access to the guest operating system inside the VM. Now I'm specifying Windows credentials that have administrative access to the host. Again, if I'm currently logged in as a domain account that's in a common domain to my destination Hyper-V host, I can just leave the default option of using my Windows account checked. If not, I can specify an alternate username and password that has access, administrative access to this, that target Hyper-V host. I'll also need to specify where on that target Hyper-V host I wish to copy the converted virtual hard disk so that they can be imported into that Hyper-V host. So I'll just connect to the $ administrative share and place the converted virtual hard disk in the VHD folder. So this is sort of the permanent location that the converter tool leaves the converted virtual hard disk in, and where is the location where the VM that it imports into Hyper-V will point to for accessing its virtual hard disks. The last option on this page asks me to choose the type of virtual hard disk file to use as I'm converting to virtual hard disk format. And those of you that are familiar with Hyper-V virtual hard disks know that we can use either fixed size virtual hard disks, so if it's a 40 gig VHD file, regardless of how much data is inside of it, it'll always be 40 gig in size as a VHD file. Or we can convert to a dynamically expanding virtual hard disk. So on-premises, Hyper-V hosts support either format. And the way that I would think about this is if you're using on-premises hosts, if you want to pre-allocate space, you might want to use fixed size. If you're trying to save disk space, you might want to choose dynamically expanding instead. Because we'll ultimately be copying or moving this converted virtual machine up to Windows Azure, we're going to actually leave the default option of fixed size, because today Windows Azure supports fixed size VHDs only. So I'm going to leave that as my default option, and I'll go ahead and click the next button. It's going to give me a summary of the options I've selected, so my source server, my Hyper-V host, where I'm going to deposit the converted VHD, which virtual machine I'm converting, and then the states of my source and destination virtual machines. So I'm going to leave the source that's sitting on VMware right now in an off state, and the destination that'll be moved to Hyper-V, I will leave in an on state. So what do you think, Young? Are we ready to click the finish button and see if it works?
Let's go for it.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and we'll click the finish button. It's going to start going through the process. So the first thing it's going to do is it's going to validate that guest operating system. So it's going to make sure that the operating system inside the virtual machine is one of the supported Windows operating systems. And then it's going to begin creating a snapshot of the source virtual machine. So this is creating a snapshot on the original VMware host to preserve the configuration of the source virtual machine so that any changes we make during the configuration process can be easily reverted out of by reverting back to the snapshot copy on the original source VMware host. So you can literally take a running VM and go through an entire migration process as a test, bring it back online, continue using it, and then when you're happy with the results after reviewing them later on during an off production hours time frame, you can schedule a real migration after the fact. So that snapshot piece being integrated into the whole process is a really nice, handy safeguard. You don't have to worry about not being able to undo any changes that are being made during the migration process. You've got an easy snapshot to revert back to. Well, once it goes and creates that snapshot, the next piece it's going to do is begin uninstalling against the snapshot the VMware tools on that source virtual machine. So it removes the VMware drivers and tools in preparation for converting it to a virtual machine that can be placed on a Hyper-V host and have the Hyper-V integration services installed. Once it goes through the process of uninstalling the VMware tools, then it begins downloading the VMware virtual disk to our temp folder. In our case, it's on our D drive. It's that VM temp folder that we specified. And depending on the size of your virtual machine hard disks, it may take anywhere from a few minutes to several minutes to complete for the copy across the network from the VMware host to your local temp folder. Well, once it goes through the process of finishing the copy to the temp folder, then everything else in the conversion process is working against that copy of the snapshotted VM that's sitting in your temp folder. So it begins converting the VMDK over to the VHD. And as we go through that process, I'm just going to scroll down a little bit here and see the results that it has. So it's converting the virtual disks. It's injecting some base Hyper-V drivers. It's converting basically a dynamically expanding disk initially. When it finishes, it'll make it into a fixed disk based on our selections. And as it goes through that process, you'll see it's now made it into a fixed disk, a 40 gig in size, fixed VHD. And it's now copying that fixed VHD over to our VHD folder that's sitting on the $D administrative share of our target Hyper-V host that we pointed to. So again, that copy process based on your network and the size of the virtual disk may take a little while. I'm just going to scroll down a little bit here so we can see the other information. So the virtual machine conversion status window does a nice job of keeping us up to date on what's happening during the conversion process. And there we go. So we've got the virtual machine successfully converted from to our Hyper-V host. And if we just go ahead and click the close button here, what we can do is go through the process now of switching over to Hyper-V Manager, which I had running minimized here. And in Hyper-V Manager, we can click on the name of our selected Hyper-V host in the middle in our virtual machines. I'm just going to scroll down here. And here is our virtual machine. Just click on it. And let's go ahead and connect to its console. So it's in a running state. It's in an on state, because we told it, the conversion tool, we told it to leave the destination virtual machine in an on state after the migration process was completed. And so this is running server 2008. It's at the login screen currently. I'm just going to click on my press Control Alt Delete button and key in my administrator password, sign in. And because this is the first time we're signing in, it's got some messages that will come up saying it found some new hardware that it doesn't have the updated device drivers for yet. So what this is talking about is some of the old hardware that was sitting inside the virtual machine that was being supported through the VMware Tools device driver, the virtualized network card, the virtualized video and mouse and keyboard and whatnot. So what we're going to do is we're going to cancel out of this found new hardware screen, and I'm going to walk through the process of, on my Actions menu, installing the Hyper-V integration services. That'll provide the updated drivers that Windows Server 2012 Hyper-V uses for supporting those virtualized hardware components inside the VM. So I'm just going to go and install Hyper-V integration services. It says that, hey, I found a previous version. Server 2008 has a previous version of Hyper-V integration services that's installed. I'll go ahead and click OK to upgrade to the new version. And it'll go through the process of upgrading the HAL, the driver framework to support the new virtualized drivers. We've got the new latest version of Hyper-V integration services successfully installed. In order for it to finish the installation, I'll restart. So I'll go ahead and click OK, or click the Yes button rather. And we'll see that it's going through the process of shutting down and restarting and applying some of the updates that we previously installed. So we'll just wait for it to go through that reboot process. And it looks like it's starting to come back up. And there we go. So we're back to the Control-Alt-Delete screen. We don't really need to make any other changes to our VM. So at this point, our VM is in Hyper-V Manager. It's running as a converted VM. It should be functional at this point. We don't need to make any more changes. So I'm just going to go ahead and close my console window here. And when I've done that, actually, before I close it, I think I'm going to shut it down first, just to make sure it's a graceful shutdown, because ultimately we'll need to copy this over to Windows Azure. So I'm going to shut it down first. So it's copying services and whatnot. And now, go ahead and close my console window and minimize Hyper-V Manager. So I've gotten about halfway through my migration process. So far, we're migrated over to Hyper-V sitting on premises. Young, any questions or feedback so far on this first half of our process before we get the VM out to Windows Azure?
Wow. Well, that's all I can say, because really from one virtualization solution to another into Hyper-V's world, it's just a few clicks away. It's only about a few minutes away. This is amazing. Now, throughout the process, I did notice a couple of features that I really like. First is the to set it on or off. both at the source and the destination. I think that's a great feature that really gives you flexibility to really kind of, when you test it out, you can really do a lot of things with it. Another thing is about the fixed disk and dynamic disks. For those who are not familiar with it, or you're not fully comfortable with it, don't worry too much about it, because you can always convert it, right? So you can, you know, if you pick dynamic disk, that's fine. Later you can convert it. As a matter of fact, later when you need to put it to Windows Azure, you will go through a process to convert it. So I think either way, this is a pretty simple process with a few clicks, and we can come to Hyper-V's world, and which opens up so many opportunities.
Great. Well, so we've gone so far from VMware into the private cloud with our converted virtual machine. Are you ready to go up to the hybrid cloud, Young?
Give me hybrid.
Okay. So in order to take our converted virtual machine and move it into Windows Azure, as I mentioned a little earlier at the start of our session, we could certainly use System Center 2012, Service Pack 1 for that, using the App Controller feature, or we can use PowerShell and automate that process in the PowerShell script for free using the Windows Azure PowerShell modules. What I'm going to do out on my demo lab environment is I'm just going to go down to my converter PC that I was running the conversion tool on, click on my PowerShell 3.0 icon in the taskbar, and I'm going to select to launch the integrated scripting environment, or PowerShell ISE, as administrator. So that's going to bring me up into the ISE, and I've got my script that I have been testing for doing this migration already pasted in to my ISE window. So what I've done to prep this so far is just a couple things. I went out to the www.windowsazure.com site, I visited the downloads page, and I downloaded the Windows Azure PowerShell module. It's a free download. I installed that, and that added the Windows Azure support into my PowerShell environment. So you'll see a number of new commandlets that I'm using later on in my script that have Azure in their name. Those are all the commandlets that the Windows Azure PowerShell module added in. Once I installed that module, I followed the installation steps that were out on that downloads page to also download a published settings file and install it. And so once you're on that downloads page, you'll see the steps involved in doing that. It's a couple of commands to get everything set up. Once that's set up and ready to go, all I need to do is start off specifying where I wish to copy my virtual machine hard disks to for the hard disks I've converted. And so the first thing I need to tell it is a Windows Azure storage account location. So this is a storage account. I'm just going to go ahead and highlight that line. This is the name of a storage account that I've previously created in my Windows Azure subscription as a location to store one or more virtual hard disks. I'm going to set the name of my storage account, KEM Lab Store 02. I'm going to set that name into a variable in PowerShell so I can use it at a later point in time. So I'll go ahead and run that PowerShell command block. And then similarly, I've got a couple variables below that that give me source and destination paths for where my converted virtual hard disk is right now. So this is the hard disk file that I converted. And then where I wish that converted hard disk to be uploaded to in Windows Azure. Now this could be one virtual hard disk, it could be a whole set of virtual hard disks as a PowerShell array or list. So I'm just using one for demonstration purposes. I'll go ahead and highlight and run that code block just to set those variables. Once I've got my variable set to perform the actual upload in PowerShell, I can use the add Azure VHD PowerShell commandlet. It's pretty easy to use. It has two parameters that I need to specify, a local file path that I'm passing in the value of my source VHD variable that I previously set, and a destination out on Windows Azure where I'm specifying my dest VHD variable value that I previously set. So source, local, destination, out on Azure. So when I run this add Azure VHD commandlet, it'll actually go through a few different steps. First, it'll calculate an MD5 hash as it goes through the process of preparing to upload the virtual hard disk to Windows Azure. It does that so that it can validate that the virtual hard disk was properly uploaded without any data corruption occurring throughout the upload process. Because we're going over the internet to upload it, it wants to make sure that once it finishes, it can confirm that the upload took place correctly. The next step it does is something called empty block detection. So for empty blocks, it's looking for unused space inside that virtual hard disk file so that it can identify it as blocks that don't need to be uploaded. If they're empty space or unused space, there's no sense in transferring a bunch of nulls across the internet, so it can save a substantial amount of time. This is actually interesting for Windows Azure because we previously mentioned that Windows Azure requires a fixed size virtual hard disk to use for virtual machines out on the Azure cloud platform. But even though it requires fixed size VHDs, it's actually only uploading the actual blocks that are occupied by data. And from a billing standpoint, your storage costs are only charged by the average number of unique in-use disk blocks that are sitting in your Azure storage account on a monthly basis. So you're not getting charged for any of that unconsumed space inside of a fixed-size VHD. It's just using the fixed-size VHD to make sure that it's pre-allocating space out on the Azure storage platform appropriately for the VMs you're trying to provision. So it'll go through the process of finishing off detecting those empty blocks, and then it'll begin the upload process. And depending on the size of how much data you have in use inside that virtual hard disk and the speed of your internet connection into the Windows Azure Infrastructure Services Cloud, this can take anywhere from a few minutes to a couple hours or so. So it runs unattended. You can just let it run after hours while it's going through that process. And through the magic of video, we'll do a little bit of a time-lapse photography of the upload process so that you don't have to wait for the VHD to finish uploading. So there we go. Our VHD is now finished uploading. And now what we need to do is we need to specify that this VHD that we just uploaded, we wish to use as an operating system virtual disk for a new virtual machine. So we have to register that VHD file or blob sitting out in Windows Azure as a virtual disk that Azure can use and attach to a new virtual machine. So we're going to use add Azure virtual disk, specify that our OS is Windows, the media location that we want to add this this Azure virtual disk from is the place that we uploaded the VHD to, and then we need to give the disk a name. So here's where I've got my name specified for my disk. So we'll go ahead and run that. That's pretty quick. It's just tagging that previously uploaded VHD as a virtual disk in Azure. And as we scroll down a little bit, we'll see that that finished. So the last piece is really provisioning the virtual machine against that uploaded virtual hard disk that we've tagged as an operating system disk. So what we need to do first is just highlight a couple lines to set up our variables for the name of our virtual machine and a unique name for our cloud service. The cloud service is essentially a container that the virtual machine will run inside in Windows Azure. So we'll go ahead and set those variables. And then the last piece where the magic really happens is running the couple additional PowerShell commands that the Azure PowerShell module supplies, new Azure VM config, where we specify our VM name and our instance size. We want a small, medium, large, extra large virtual machine to determine how much CPU and memory resources we wish to make available, the name of the Azure disk that we previously registered, and then we pass all that to new Azure VM. New Azure VM is actually the commandlet that'll create the VM inside a particular cloud service, inside a particular data center region. So if I just highlight that last code block, click on my Run Selection button, it'll go through the process of completing that. It'll take a few minutes to complete, and then there we go. So we've got it succeeded now in completing that new Azure virtual machine. To test it and make sure that our virtual machine is actually provisioned and running up in Windows Azure, I'm just going to switch over to the Windows Azure Management Console. I'm going to click on Internet Explorer and browse out to the manage.windowsazure.com. Here we've got the Management Console, and I'm going to click on the Virtual Machines tab on the left navigation bar to switch over to the Virtual Machines page. And here you'll see my virtual machine that's just been uploaded in a running state. in the Eastern US data center location. And now my VM process, my migration process is complete. I've taken it end to end from running a virtual machine in VMware on premises, moving it into a private cloud, and then from the private cloud, moving it up to hybrid cloud, all with free tools using the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter, Windows PowerShell, and Hyper-V Manager. Now that I've got this running up in Windows Azure, I can use any of the buttons down in my toolbar at the bottom to connect to that virtual machine via remote desktop, to shut down or restart the virtual machine as needed, to attach or detach additional virtual hard disks, or by clicking on the name of the virtual machine to be able to drill into additional properties for configuring and managing that virtual machine. Well, Young, what did you think? Was it a pretty smooth process end to end?
I'll tell you, Keith, this demo is so cloudy, I can hardly speak. This is really amazing stuff because, you know, the significance of running that PowerShell script is really not just, you know, it's a script or something. It really signified the ability. Now the entire Microsoft Data Center is your backyard. It's wherever, whenever, whatever you need to do with it, it's there. You can upload a virtual machine immediately. You deploy it in minutes or hours later, then you have a virtual machine, you know, on your demand and running there. Furthermore, I imagine in upcoming other episode, we will have a chance to talk about it, is when you set up this uploading process, the Windows Azure, behind the scene, it's a secure connection, right? So there's a public key, private key, all that we went through the process, set it up. So, you know, when we do this transmission, when we upload this VM, this is all secure connection. So you have a chance to upload your workload in a secure manner, and everything is totally under control and on your demand. So this is very cool stuff.
Well, hey, Young, so we've stepped through the entire end-to-end process using a free set of tools, the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter, the Windows PowerShell Azure module, free download from WindowsAzure.com, and Hyper-V Manager to do a little bit of magic between the two of them. So very easy, straightforward process. Would you like to learn more, Young, about how to step through this process yourself?
Yeah, I am going to do it as long as you help me out.
Sure. Well, if you go out to my blog at KeithMayer.com, you'll find, actually, this month, our team of IT evangelists here in the U.S. are actually going through an entire series of 20 key scenarios with Windows Azure Infrastructure Services. And one of those key scenarios actually steps you through the same process that we saw in our video today. So if you take a look out at KeithMayer.com, you'll find that, along with a bunch of other great scenarios on running Windows Server 2012, SQL Server 2012, SharePoint 2013, and even Linux up in the Windows Azure Infrastructure Services Cloud for a variety of key scenarios. We're finding great interest on Windows Azure Infrastructure Services in the last few months, now that Windows Azure Infrastructure Services has been made generally available for key production workloads with a service level agreement for paid subscription accounts. So feel free to check that out if you need more details. And as always, feel free to shoot us an email at either my blog or at Young's blog if we can help out with any questions as you're moving through this process. Well, thanks so much for joining us today, folks, and look forward to chatting with you next time on TechNet Radio, where we'll look at other key private cloud and hybrid cloud scenarios together. Thanks, everybody.